Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Back to the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in today. And anytime there are any questions about what's going on with the economy, I always try to reach out to good friend Dave Simons. He's the host of KMOX Dollars and Cents. And of course, as you know, he is a certified financial planner and senior vice president of investments at UBS Financial Services. Dave, great to talk to you again, my friend.
Brad, as always, appreciate the invite.
I wanted to reach out to you because earlier this week, I was reading about the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, and that it rose 3.5% from a year ago. So first of all, what is the Consumer Price Index and why is this number perhaps higher than what was expected?
Well, first of all, the CPI is basically a basket of goods and services that the government uses to determine what the inflation rate is. So it's everything from the grocery store to going to Home Depot and buying that stuff. It's also service sector, like how much it costs to get a tax accountant. So it's all these things put together. And then we look at what the average price has done month over month. And then to your point, the 3.5%, it's year over year. And it was higher than expected. You know, it's this proverbial last mile. And by that, I mean that inflation peaked at a little above 9% in the summer of 22. And it's slowly come down 8, 6, 4, just a little bit. But it seems stuck here now at this 3 to 3.5% range. The Fed has a target to get inflation down to that pre-pandemic level of 2%. But we've been between 3 and 3.5% since last summer. So they've brought it down fairly effectively, but now we just can't seem to get it to budge more. And the subsequent problem, and really here's why the market's selling off as much as anything, Brad, is that it tells us then that the Fed is not going to be cutting rates. They don't have the ammunition to do it with inflation running hotter than they would like.
Right, because earlier this year, the general consensus, as I understand it, was that they were expecting the Fed to maybe start cutting rates maybe late spring, early summer, and try to get in about 3 rate cuts this year. But now because of this nagging, lingering inflation, kind of like folks who try to lose a lot of weight and then the last 5 pounds can be the hardest.
Isn't that the truth?
Yes. In this instance, it seems like because that inflation has not responded to the Fed's activities thus far. Is the market looking at this and saying maybe those rate cuts now are not going to happen?
That's right. And that was going to be the juice to keep this bull market going. You know, I take you back to December, and a lot of economists and market strategists just assumed that we would get as many as 6 rate cuts in 24. Well, inflation kind of stayed stubbornly high. And so a lot of them said, well, maybe 4. And then that went to 3. Now it's 1 or 2. And some are actually saying, no, we don't think the Fed's going to cut rates at all. And Jay Powell, I'll give him credit, the Fed chairman, has been very careful of not tipping his hand to give the market any reason to believe that they were going to start cutting rates in this spring. That's just from the analysts and economists who have come up with that. My own personal opinion is if they cut, I don't think it's going to be until late summer or the fall. And that's a whole other issue, Brad, because then you get into the politics of this, the optics of it. Do you cut rates right before an election, a major election? Well, one side's going to say, well, that's not right. You're doing it to grease the skids to help Joe Biden. If they don't cut rates, the other side's going to say, well, you're only doing that to keep inflation high, which is going to hurt Joe Biden. So the Fed has to reel. This is an awkward dance for them, yes, because it's a political year.
Right. And ideally, the Federal Reserve is not supposed to be political, but everything in Washington, D.C. has some degree of politicalness to it, doesn't it?
There's no question about it. And you're spot on. They are supposed to be apolitical. But let's be honest, they're human. They have their own political predilections themselves and who they personally would like to see in there. And I am not about to suggest that Jay Powell is going to act one way or the other based on politics. But we also know, because Donald Trump has said this before, he is not a big fan of Powell. And it wouldn't surprise me that if Trump wins, Powell gets fired. Now, does he keep that in the back of his mind? Well, keep in mind, Jay Powell, he can't move rates by himself. He has to have the full committee. So I don't know what kind of influence he has, but we'll have to give him the benefit of the doubt for now and just say he's only looking at the data.
We're talking to Dave Simons. He's the host of KMOX's Dollars and Cents show. And of course, he is a certified financial planner and senior vice president of investments at UBS Financial Services. And Dave, let's assume just for discussion purposes. And of course, I never like to talk about any specific stocks, but I like to talk to you about trends. And so generally speaking, if interest rates are delayed, or interest rate cuts rather, are delayed, postponed, or may not even happen until later this year, if at all, how would that impact the direction of the market?
Yeah, it's going to be really, really choppy, Brad, and it's going to be an individual stock picker's market. If the Fed doesn't really cut rates at all or waits way until later in the year, I cannot see what would really give the real push behind this market to move a lot higher. With that said, individual stocks, certain stocks will still do okay. What stocks are those? The ones that have consistent high growth patterns. So you could see a return to the former FANG stocks or the MAG 7. A lot of these AI high growth tech stocks could actually do well because their earnings are going to deliver. What could get hurt are the ones out on the edges, the ones that are barely getting by with very small profit margins. That would also include small cap stocks. I've been waiting for years for small cap stocks to finally break out of their multi-year slump. But if the Fed doesn't cut rates, small cap stocks still are not going to do well because they need lower rates because they are more inclined to need to borrow money to grow their business.
You mentioned AI stocks, Dave, and I want to come back to that for just a moment because there have been a lot of comparisons here over the last few months of the trajectory of the AI stocks and comparing it to the internet bubble that we experienced at the end of the 90s and the beginning of the 2000s. Do you see a difference between the direction of AI stocks now and the direction of internet stocks 20 years ago?
Yeah, a major difference, just not in the same ballpark. This is coming from somebody who actually was managing money even back in those days in the mid to late 90s, and it's not even close. Back then, all you had to say was, hey, I'm going to start this new company, and it's got a .com in the name, and then all of these big pocketed entrepreneurial types in Silicon Valley would say, well, how many tens of millions of dollars do you want? They didn't care if you made any money yet. They just knew that you were starting a business to sell widgets on the internet, and that was good enough. And then we saw the fallout from there. And then and that even bled into the broader market as the valuations of the S&P were astronomically high. These companies, and you can go down the list of them, whether it's, pick your AI stocks. I'm a little reluctant to do so, but we all know what they are. They have real earnings, and their growth patterns are substantial. I think that they could still do well even without any sort of rate cuts. So I think it's going to be one of those bifurcated markets, Brad, where you're going to have some selected winners, but a lot of the broader market will just have to stay put for a while. And that's only assuming that inflation still stays stubborn through the summer months and the Fed doesn't cut.
We're talking to Dave Simons from UBS Financial Services. And Dave, last question. I want to talk just briefly about energy prices, because everyone to some extent is an expert on the price of gasoline, because we not only fill our tanks regularly, but we drive by these large signs at every gas station multiple times a day. So we get to track and we see the direction of gasoline prices. But in this instance, we've also seen the oil producing countries, OPEC, reducing supply to try to bolster the price. How is that offset by the record amount of oil that's being produced in the United States right now?
You know, sometimes oil prices will go higher without any regard to whether there's an oversupply, undersupply, and this gets to geopolitical issues. This gets to the concerns of increased rhetoric, possibly of more geopolitical issues. So, for example, as we're talking here in mid-April, oil prices are now hitting six-month highs. One of the big reasons for that, and Brad, you know this, that we are being told, at least from our intel, that there could be some kind of an imminent attack. Who knows, whether it's in Israel, Europe, here in the U.S., that kind of talk spikes oil prices. That's just what happens, regardless of what may be happening in the oil industry. And frankly, I think that's the biggest reason for the sell-off today in the market. The big sell-off on Wednesday was due to the hot CPI number that still is bleeding through a little bit today here on Friday. But one of the big reasons for this big sell-off late in the day is this concern and this talk that the State Department is telling us about from our intel, that there could be some kind of major systematic attack somewhere. So a lot of your big investors, because they can't get to their money on the weekend and make changes, are for safety reasons, just to be precaution, selling ahead of the weekend. For us as individual investors, let me be clear, that's never a good reason to trade.
Exactly.
Geopolitical issues, never. You might even see a rebound early next week if nothing happens. But that's an explanation besides just CPI that is actually affecting the market and oil prices in a negative way here today.
Wow. Dave Simons, UBS Financial Services. Dave, you're the best, my friend. Thanks for speaking to us today here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Brad, you're too kind. Thanks, and have a wonderful weekend.
You too, my friend. Hey, we'll be back right after this. More of the Mark Reardon Show next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave. I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in this afternoon on a Friday, on a sunny Friday afternoon. And joining us is my good friend from law school, John Davis. How you doing, John?
I'm all right. How are you, Brad?
I'm doing great, sir. Great to talk to you. Hey, before we dive into this Jennifer and James Crumbley situation, do you find it coincidental that on the day after O.J. Simpson died that Ford is issuing a recall on the Ford Bronco? Do you think that's a coincidence, or did the Ford know something was going to happen?
I'm not going to comment on that, okay?
Okay. Just wanted to throw it out there. I find coincidences, and I'm not sure they're always coincidental.
I listened to most of your show this afternoon, and you got some other people to bite on that, but I'm just going to refrain, okay?
That's okay. That's why you're a smart guy, John. You're a very, very smart guy. And that's why I wanted to reach out to you, because John Davis, if you don't know him already, he's, of course, with the law firm of Kessler Williams. He's a former judge, a former assistant attorney general, now a criminal defense attorney with Kessler Williams. And I wanted to reach out to John because, John, you've been on literally every side of the legal system, every side.
Yeah.
And you're going, yeah, and I've got the scars to prove it. But but when we heard this week that Jennifer and James Crumbley, the parents of Ethan Crumbley, who in a horrific act of violence killed four students in Michigan, the parents were sentenced, first time nationwide that this has happened, where parents have been held criminally responsible for the acts of their children or child in a mass shooting situation. They were sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison. Now, the first thing that I've been asked probably 50 times this week is, how can someone be sentenced for 10 to 15 years? How does that work?
Well, it's statutory. I mean, this is Michigan law, which is different state by state. And then, of course, there's federal court. But you got to look at the statutes of wherever it is that it occurred. And that is the punishment for involuntary manslaughter in Michigan. They're eligible for parole after 10 years. And it could be granted after 10 years and they're finished. But if not, it could be as far as 15 years.
Got it. And that's the part that I wanted to clarify because folks, well, is it 10 years or is it 15? So again, thank you for clarifying that. As you looked at this from the perspective of a defense attorney, what questions were in your mind with regard to parents being held criminally responsible? We've heard lots of situations in the past where parents might be held civilly responsible for the acts of their children, but criminally responsible, how is that different in terms of parents and children? How does that strike you as a defense attorney?
Well, you know, it's not just as a defense attorney. It's as a prosecutor and maybe even a former judge, but a lawyer overall that I'm sure you're looking at it the same way. I taught constitutional law and criminal law for 25 years, and I always came down to this question of, can you legislate, can the Missouri legislature, the Congress legislate parenthood? And the answer is no, you
right.
can't do it. But Michigan has pushed this out, and it could be really bad precedent for parents, good or bad, you know, as defining what is a bad parent and is there a sanction that goes along with it.
Yeah, and that's an excellent point, because essentially the courts in the state of Michigan are saying here that you are criminally responsible. We're going to literally remove your freedom for a period of 10 to 15 years because you were a bad parent. And that seems rather harsh to me.
Well, you know, looking at it from the perspective I'm looking at it as an attorney, not a prosecutor, not a judge, not a defense attorney, but just as an attorney. I mean, it expands the culpability of the actual defendant. If the defendant, which in this case I believe is true, knew what he was doing and did it voluntarily, that's on him. Mm-hmm. However, Michigan wants to, they did expand it out to, you know, the parents are also responsible for anything that they may or may not have known but didn't prevent him from doing. So what if, you know, I've read several essays on this question. What if he had a baseball bat in the garage? What if he had a hammer? What
or a car, or driving the car. And if you replace the idea of a gun with a car, and he instead went and drove into a crowd of kids and killed four of them, would the outcome have been the same? And most people tell me no, but because it's a gun, it somehow elicits a different emotional response.
Well, that is an emotional response. Bradley, I think you're absolutely correct.
And there's another question I want to ask for you, John, and I got to set this up for just a second. And again, in case you're just joining us, we're talking to criminal defense attorney John Davis with the law firm of Kessler Williams. And John, here's my setup. The idea of holding the parents responsible criminally flows from the following logic, that they knew or should have known that their son had a mental illness, that their child, he was 15 at the time, was under their care, protection, direction, and responsibility because he was a child, and because they failed in that regard by allowing him to have a gun, then therefore they're criminally responsible and they're going to jail. But how does it change the equation, John, when we also factor in the fact that the state of Michigan found Ethan to be an adult for purposes of conviction? He was tried as an adult. He was convicted as an adult. He's in prison as an adult. So if he is an adult for all intents and purposes under the law, should the parents now be held criminally responsible for something that an adult did?
Well, I think Michigan, again, it expands the culpability of the actual, in this case, trigger puller, to his parents. And what's the definition of a responsible parent? Are they supposed to be on top of the mental health counseling that the child, who you correctly identify has now been declared an adult, are they supposed to be on top of that? Are they supposed to be on top of in-school discipline, out-of-school activities, things like that? Obviously, they bought him a firearm. But to hold them responsible for what happened with that firearm to a, I'm making the air quotes when I say kid, did what he did, that could be very bad precedent for every parent that's hearing us right now.
Right. One of the pieces of evidence, there are several pieces of evidence that seemed to be focal points at this trial, John, and one of them was the Oxford High School assistant principal. And she testified at the trial, and I'm quoting her. She said, quote, "I didn't think Ethan could possibly be the shooter," and unquote. And she went on to talk about she was so surprised that he would be capable of such a thing. So if that's the evidence at trial, it seems like the prosecution had to prove that the parents knew or should have known that he was capable of doing such a thing. They testified that they weren't. The school officials testified that they weren't. Doesn't that seem to be a great deal of evidence in favor of not imprisoning the parents if no one knew or should have known that he was capable of this activity?
Bradley, I agree. And, you know, there's evidence to the contrary as well that they should have known, but that's a jury decision. And you know as well as I do, having not sat in the trial, you know, we can't render a judgment on that. But in the end, if the jury wanted to produce a verdict that could, you know, potentially reduce gun crime by declaring responsibility on the parents, what about parents being held responsible, you know, for something even much lighter, like a fist fight in the parking lot of the school?
Right.
You don't know that's coming.
Yeah, exactly. And as I've talked about this issue with lots of folks, and I've expressed many degrees of skepticism about not only the convictions of the parents, but the sentencing of the parents. So I've gotten a lot of pushback. I've gotten a lot of pushback from that. And yet here's, well, pushback by saying that they, because there were some drawings that had imagery of having emotional problems, that therefore they were criminally responsible. But it seems like when I have these discussions and I ask enough questions of whoever it is that wants to raise this issue with me, when I ask enough questions, it really usually comes down to this fact, that the person who's asking me these questions are against guns, and they think that this is it should be a deterrent for future parents to prevent them from allowing children to have guns in the home. Now, listen, I am the strongest advocate of if there are guns in the home, that they need to be locked, they need to be secured. We don't allow young children certainly to have access to weapons. But here's my question for you. I don't want to dive into that with you, but here's the question that I have for you. When a case is tried, is it unfair for the defendants that people might be convicted under the auspices of saying, we want to send a message to the country, not convict them on the facts of the particular crime in which they're being charged with?
Absolutely. I mean, you know as well as I do, being a trial attorney, there's jury instructions, and they have to be followed by the jury, but nobody's in the jury room during deliberations making sure that that's what they're doing. And so you've got today's, you know, political happenings going on, and it's in that jury's mind. So you can't help but think that maybe something like that happened. And you know, at this point, after the Michigan case, after the Crumley's case, you know, the courts could impose their thoughts or their policies on the standard of parenting. And think about that, not just in the gun sense, but think about it in the socioeconomic class sense.
My goodness.
I mean, let's face it, Bradley. St. Louis City is a lot different than Lake St. Louis.
Yeah, night and day. Yeah, absolutely it is.
Absolutely. So if the courts wanted to, you know, impose sanctions on parents in those two socioeconomic classes, I mean, I got to believe it would be very, very different.
We're talking to attorney John Davis with the law firm of Kessler Williams. And moving beyond just the Crumley situation here, John, when you are trying a case, how important is it for you to try to educate the jury that they're to make a reasoned decision based on the facts instead of an emotional reaction to the allegations?
You know, picking a jury, as you know, is called voir dire or voir dire, but where we went to school, Brad, it was called jury selection.
Yeah, it's because I call it jury selection because I can't speak. The only French I speak is uh-huh. So I don't like to, I try to stay away from voir dire, but jury selection. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I used to tell the veneer panel, if we bring in 40 people to ultimately pick 12 to sit on the jury, and I'd tell them, it's like, you know, when you walked in the doors to this courtroom, you didn't leave your common sense behind. So I just need to know, you know, what your particularities are in life, that I make sure you're a fair juror, but in the end, you'd still have your common sense.
Right, but I understand the idea of common sense, but at some point, if a jury member is simply having an emotional reaction doesn't that do the defendants a disservice when they don't even look at the evidence that's being brought against them and simply make a decision based upon their emotional, visceral reaction to the alleged crime?
Well, if their emotional, visceral reaction is contrary to the defendant's position, yes, absolutely. And the same for the other side of the coin. If it's on behalf of the government, then absolutely.
Very good. Hey, if folks want to reach out to you, John, at Kessler Williams, if they've got questions about criminal defense situations, how can they reach you?
Best way is probably my cell phone, 314-696-9229.
And how can they find you online?
KesslerWilliams.com.
Very good. John Davis, former judge, former assistant attorney general, former law school professor, now criminal defense attorney. Man, I wish
Wait. Former law student with a guy named J. Bradley Young.
Well, I won't bring up the golfing incident because, well, maybe I can because the statute of limitations has expired, but I won't get into that now. I won't get into that now, John. Hey, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Thanks for having me, Bradley.
Thanks, buddy. Good to talk to you. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, of course, we've got the audio cut of the day next on The Mark Reardon Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Import, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Last segment here on the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in this afternoon. And I got to tell you, whenever I fill in for Mark, the hardest part of this show, the hardest part, bar none, is figuring out what audio clip to go with on the audio cut of the day. It's hard because in front of me, I've got 18 fantastic clips. Mm. I could talk about any one of them. Mm. And it's hard to figure out which one of these we're going to play and share with you. I want to get Sue's input on this as well. And so to do that, let's just go with the audio cut of the day.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Today's audio cut of the day is brought to you by the new Sue Thomas Show.
Thanks, Brad.
History of the Lou with Sue, that who is sponsoring the audio cut of the day today.
It's our pleasure.
That's right. That is exactly right. And of all the cuts, this is the one that I wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about when it comes to student loan so-called forgiveness.
If you've paid undergrad loans for 20 plus years or graduate loans for 25 or more years, your loans will be completely forgiven, regardless of your income and even if you did not graduate. And forgiveness will be automatic for the vast majority of the 25 million people that we believe will benefit from this approach.
They're not forgiven. That means that you and I are paying for it.
That's literally what I just wrote down here on my piece of paper to discuss with you, Sue, is what does forgiven mean?
It means everybody else is going to have to pay your bills.
Yes. Yes. There's no forgiveness.
No. Word drives me nuts in those things. And I realize that this is a ploy to get people to vote for him, and I understand all of that, but it is supremely annoying.
Oh, annoying isn't even strong enough of a word.
It's wrong.
It is. It's just blatantly wrong because there's no forgiveness. Forgiveness means it's gone, but it's not gone.
No.
It's more of a transfer of debt.
Correct.
And if you consider that the Chinese is the country of China, the communist Chinese government is one of the largest purchasers of our debt. Essentially, what you're saying is that we're going to go into debt with China so that you don't have to pay back the student loans that you contractually agreed to repay.
Correct. And, well, and you are therefore not responsible. Again, we make people not responsible for their own actions.
Yeah. Isn't this like the worst consequence of the idea of getting a trophy, an attendance trophy, by saying, you know what, because you took out the loans, we're just going to forgive them. And it, with no basis in reality, we're just going to forgive them when it really isn't even forgiveness.
And we're not, the fact that we as the taxpayers in this country have to foot the bill for all of this stuff, there's no free anything. Everything they pass that is supposed to help, or it's a program that costs us more money, it's not money that falls out of the sky. It's your money.
Exactly. And the other thing, there's so much about this that's irritating to me. And the one quote that you heard from Vice President Kamala Harris was talking about folks who have been paying for 20 years. But this is one of dozens of these initiatives to try to eliminate student debt. And one of the things that gets me is, regardless of income, well, when you look at who takes out student loans, and I've seen the statistics, if you take out student loans and go to college, you automatically earn more money. So it's literally the people who need this kind of relief the least,
right,
are the ones that they're giving away money to.
Mm.
So that means if you're a doctor, if you're a lawyer, if you're someone else who's in a highly compensated occupation, your student loans are being forgiven when you are the least needy person to have debt relief.
It's really annoying.
It is annoying. And what's also annoying is this idea that we're going to buy your vote. I mean, this is literally no different than what happened in the early 1800s when politicians were giving away bottles of whiskey if you would agree to a vote for a candidate. This is just a revamped version of that same philosophy.
It pretty much is. Didn't the Supreme Court explain that to me? Tell him he couldn't do this?
They did.
And what's the difference here? How's he doing it?
The Supreme Court struck it down, and the intricacies of this I don't have right in front of me on the tip of my tongue. But here's the generality. The Supreme Court said that under what's called the major questions doctrine,
okay,
that means when you're dealing with major questions, particularly with regard to money, that under our Constitution, Congress is the only entity that is empowered to give away money. And unless Congress authorizes the giveaway of money, the executive branch can't do it. And so in the one that went up to the Supreme Court was the $1.5 trillion it would wipe out all student loans. That was struck down because it was an excess action by an executive branch without the authorization of Congress.
Right. Okay.
So on these smaller ones, that's why there's all of these smaller initiatives that are going out there. The idea is the Biden administration is trying to skirt the decision from the Supreme Court by saying this is not an en masse elimination of student debt. It's targeted, and therefore it's under the authority of the executive branch because it's smaller.
Wow, that's even shadier.
Right. And so literally,
Dad told us not to do it, so we're going to go around it.
Exactly. Ugh. Exactly. Dad said we couldn't do it.
So we're going to do it.
We're going to do it, but we're going to do it in small increments so maybe Dad won't notice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When I was in kindergarten, my dad came home from work and I was watching TV, he would say to me, Brad, turn off the boob tube and get to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured out a way around it. And here's what I did. I would want to watch Scooby-Doo. And so when my dad came in and I'm watching Scooby-Doo, I would start cutting paper. And so my dad thought, oh, he's busy doing something for school. He's cutting paper. I was just cutting paper into halves.
Oh my
into
gosh.
Fourths,
that is hilarious.
Into eighths, into sixteenths. Okay. That's all I was doing, was cutting paper into smaller pieces.
Oh my gosh.
And my dad thought, oh, he must be doing something for school. And then when he would walk out of the room, I would keep watching Scooby Doo.
Oh, that's right? Genius.
This is no different.
No.
Than that scheme that I dreamed up when I was in kindergarten.
Pretty good, by the way.
But this, thank you very much.
Yes.
So, but this is no different because all they're doing is cutting it up into smaller bites with the hope that the Supreme Court won't notice.
Pretty much.
Okay. Now, I will tell you that multiple states, including Missouri, is going to continue to challenge even these small incremental student loan schemes for numerous reasons, not the least of which is you agreed, you signed a contract to pay this money back. And because you've got too many streaming services that you're paying for, you're now whining that you shouldn't have to pay your debts.
Right. Right.
That's outrageous.
It is.
It's outrageous. It's un-American. And I would say I'm out of words, but I'm not, because I've got a lot more. I got a lot more words I could say about it, but we've beat that horse to death. But the idea is this: do you want a government that wants to relieve and eliminate obligations that people contractually agree to do, and to eliminate responsibility? I don't.
Nope.
And I trust that you don't either. But remember that at the ballot box this November. Because that's when it really, really counts. Brad Young sitting in this afternoon for Mark Reardon, who's probably golfing. We'll hear about it Monday when he gets back on the Mark Reardon Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.